All right, welcome everybody to this session of O365A. On this podcast, we're fortunate enough to be joined by Principal Program Manager at Microsoft, Arun Das, on the Microsoft Teams product group. And we're here to talk about shared channels today, which is a fantastic new feature that's coming out in Microsoft Teams. You probably heard about it. Arun, I'll turn it over to you just to give a quick intro and tell us about what are shared channels and why an organization might want to adopt them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I think I'm super excited to be here. And first of all, I've been thrilled by the response that we have got to shared channels and Teams Connect overall. So let me just step back and talk about how did this idea come to be and what our goal around this is, right? So if you look at it, channels are where works happen, right? That is where people come to work together. And our vision is to transform these channels to be an open and collaborative workspaces, irrespective of your team and organizational boundaries. So what we looked at is that we do a pretty awesome job when it comes to people collaborating within organization. But we know with guests, you have to tenant switch and there is friction, right? So we really obsessed over solving the friction points in this experience of collaborating externally. And we worked with customers and MVPs and other partners to see how we could provide an end-to-end seamless experience, not only for end users, but also for admins, right? So that people could collaborate over conversation, meetings, document and apps. So we went back to drawing board, and especially with our friends in AAD, and we fundamentally rethought what the user identity model, the tenant trust model, and channel membership looked like. So that is where Teams Connect Share Channel came along, right? So if you look at it, with a share channel, I can share it with any team within my organization, outside my organization. And when that channel is shared with that team, everybody from that team has access to that shared channel. And if you're sharing it externally, then your external partners first don't have to be guests in your tenant. And if they're not guests, they also don't have to tenant switch. So for them, irrespective of how many tenants they're working in, they will see all these channels in one unified list. Of course, they would see where this channel is coming from, which organization does this channel belong to. So basically, the mission is to make sure that people are able to fluidly collaborate within an outside organization. And I shall stop here for questions. Yeah,
I think maybe from a Teams admin perspective, what are the requirements to actually get in and share a channel?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. So if you look at it, share channels can be used within an outside organization, right? So within an organization, admins literally don't have to do anything. So that's why we send our MC message center post 30 days in advance. And there are three policies if you look at it, right? First is who can create share channels. So you have a per user policy. You can define who can create share channels. You have to be a team owner irrespective. So you have to be a team owner and that policy should be allowed. And then there are two other Teams policies which govern external collaboration. One, who can invite people externally? And the second one is who can be invited to another tenant? So we control both ways, right? So you can say, hey, Habib can invite but not participate in external channel, but Dino can participate in external channels but not invite, right? But this is all about on team side, right? And if you're doing in-tenant, this is all great. Teams admin can control it. But if you look at external collaboration, the Azure admin holds the key. And that is where B2B Direct Connect comes into play. So you go to external identities in Azure portal, go to cross-tenant access policy, and that is where you would see B2B Direct Connect. You go to the B2B Direct Connect tab, and then you can configure inbound and outbound policies. So inbound policies govern who can come into your tenant. So if you are Contoso, you can say, hey, Fabricam, or pretty much entire world can come in if you enable defaults. And if you look at outbound lets you control who can participate in other tenants. So basically, Azure admin kind of controls the keys to both those. So Teams admin and Azure admin can work together to create a really fine-grained access control mechanism between Teams policies and admin policies. And once that is done, the most important thing is right now, because shared channels is in public preview, you have to enable public preview. So there are two ways of enabling public preview. If your tenant is in Office preview program, I think it's in the current channel, then all you need to do in Teams Admin Center, go to Office Update Policies and say Teams Update Policy, and say Follow Office Preview. That's it. Your end users have to do nothing. But if you're not part of the Office Preview program, you can go and say in Teams update policies enabled. And then each user per client on the client will have to go and say for enable Teams Preview. That's a checkbox on the client. So if you look at it in tenant, all you have to do is enable Teams Preview. If you're going cross tenant, then you have to configure B2B Direct Connect and Teams Preview. Yeah.
So that Teams Preview feature, it's a client side feature. Yeah. Is that just for the person that creates the initial shared channel? Or is it for everyone that's taking part of the shared channel experience?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and that we should clarify for our audience. So the control controls who can create a shared channel. So once you have created a shared channel, you can pull in people. Like as an end user, you don't have to be thinking, hey, is Habib or Dino on Teams Preview program or not, right? So as an admin, you kind of give the ability to create shared channels to limited set of people if you want to limit it in the beginning, and they can pull in people as you need. Yeah, we didn't want to like go and overburden admins with every request. Hey, I want Curtis in the shared channel. Let's go enable public preview for them. Yeah.
So just to kind of recap that, so if you are looking to create a shared channel in your tenant, you're going to set up at least a single user in the preview mode. They're going to go into the Teams client, flip into preview experience.
Yeah.
They'll only be able to create a channel if they're a Teams owner, and then they have the Teams policy that allows them to create a channel and invite people, similar to that being able to create a private channel.
Exactly.
And then if it's going to go outside of your tenant, that's when we jump into the Azure B2B, and that's probably not the Teams admin that's going to be driving that experience.
Yeah, perfect. That's a great summary.
So I know you mentioned everybody within a team, like if you're sharing it within your organization, everybody within that other team gets access to this channel, but I know there are some limitations for like memberships and stuff like that. So maybe talk to us a little bit about the guest membership restrictions with that.
So if you the simple way to think about that is external people are only allowed on shared channels via B2B Direct Connect. So if I were to take a scenario, like say I'm an owner of say Team Awesome, and there is a channel, I create a shared channel, I check that checkbox which says shared with the whole team, right? But if there are guests on Team Awesome, they don't get to access the shared channel, right? If you want to collaborate with them, you would have to bring them in as B2B Direct Connect users, right? And it's an obvious question, why do that, right? Because if you hadn't done that, then if you're a guest in a team, you would have seen some shared channels with tenant switching and some shared channels without tenant switching. So you would have to think, oh, this is a shared channel that I'm part of. Do I have to tenant switch? So now it's a pretty clear demarcation that if you are using shared channels, you don't have to tenant switch. All those channels show up in your channel list. One thing to keep in mind though is that right now shared channels does not support consumer identities. So if you have an Outlook or a live email address, you can't bring them into shared channels. So that might be something that you might want to consider when going for shared channels. Having said that, that's something we are working on. It's a reasonable amount of work, but we know there are scenarios where people want to bring in, especially consultants or contractors who may not have an AAD account in their tenant or an AAD license.
That's great. So in this scenario then, if I'm wanting to take the guest users and allow them to see the shared channels, what I would do is I would just, if the requirement is there, remove them from my AAD tenant as guests, and then add them as the shared, I guess, a federated identity, right? So share that channel with them. And then that's the way that other, departments would start collaborating with that particular user in that case, right?
Sorry, go ahead, complete your question.
No, I was just trying to think of like, because of the, the delineation from like things getting potentially getting confusing for the end user, is trying to understand sort of what the appropriate process may be, so that on both sides, whether it's me as a person sharing the channel or wanting to collaborate, and that person that is getting that channel to be shared with them, right? So that there's less confusion from them.
Yeah, I think the simple way to think about it is, what is the scenario, right? If the collaboration is limited to channels, we absolutely recommend. And if they have an Azure AD identity, go for shared channels. Pretty simple. They don't have to tenant switch. Their chats are not landing on a B2B guest account. Pretty plain, right? But if you want that user to play a bigger role in your organization, for example, if you want them to be looked up in the AD directory, right? Or if you want them to have access to some line of business apps, then go with guest account. And there might be some cases where you might want the same user to exist as both. But that's something we let, and that's why we support both the scenarios. The lookup is pretty much transparent. In both cases, you can look up people using email address. So end user doesn't have to really understand whether they are going for B2B Direct Connect or guest access. If it's a standard or private channel, they will go via guest access. But if it's a shared channel, if you look up using name, we bring you another B2B Direct user.
Well, that's great. At least like gives our listeners an understanding of where to potentially use the scenarios. So, and then you did talk about apps. So maybe you could talk to us, you know, right out the gate. I'm sure, you know, that you're only going to be able to support some applications. So maybe talk to us about some of the limitations that may be coming.
Yeah, I think from an apps perspective, we clearly know, right? We build shared channels. We don't yet support Planner. So that's something, it's not right there on shared channels yet. So in terms of main app, so we looked at the top apps and we support close to, I think it's 100, and the list is changing like as developers come through. And let me talk more about it. So right now we are looking at top 100 apps that we support on shared channels today in terms of usage that we looked at. How we are expanding the story is the... In build, we are going to talk about that. We have made changes to the developer SDK, where developers can go and in a very simple way, check a checkbox and say, hey, my apps are supported for shared channels. So we want our developer community to go test their apps for shared channels. And a lot of apps should just show up on shared channels with a very minimal effort. In terms of Planner, I think what I hear quite a bit about is Planner and Forms. So we are working with those two teams and hopefully we'll have an update to share soon. Yeah, but I think those are the couple of apps that I hear more about. It's Planner and Forms. There are some very interesting use cases that I see people have to put together with a combination of Forms and Planner on a channel.
So, Arun, one of the big questions I get is around the ownership of data in a shared channel. Mm-hmm. So maybe talk a little bit about that, and then I'll have a follow-up question to that as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good and interesting segue, right? So the way to think about it, and I think this came up with my house, my roof. Somebody coined this term when we were initially brainstorming. So the tenant where the shared channel gets created, that tenant policy apply to shared channels in all scenarios, right? And the same way, we can talk about share with team also. When a channel is shared between two teams, the host team's policies apply. So when a channel could be shared with 50 other organizations or 50 other teams, but the unit of management or the policies come from the host tenant and the host team. So the team or the tenant which is hosting the channel has the full control. Right, and that is where the data resides. That is where the SharePoint and the SharePoint site resides, and those are the policies that get used. So if there are retention policies on the team, and all those get applied, like sensitivity label, all come from host team and host tenant.
Yeah, and so in that same token, if the guest, I don't want to use the term guest, but if the other tenant you're sharing also has some policies that some governance policies, which I want to talk about as well, that talks about retention. Mm-hmm. It's possible that some of your data can be retained in the other tenant, even though you might revoke. Like, so say you've been going on for a 3-month project, you've been working, and then that project comes to an end. Mm-hmm. the tenant you've been sharing with also has a retention policy where they keep data. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that that data can still live in the in that other tenant, given that they've had their own controls to keep that that data?
No, it's always the host tenant. The host tenant controls everything. The data is owned and governed. They cannot use those retention policies, won't apply to this channel because this channel was hosted in another tenant. So the external tenant or the invitee tenant does not have access to data.
So in other words, if my company wants to know everything that I'm working on as an employee or a contractor, mm-hmm. I'm invited to participate in a shared mm-hmm. channel at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. That means that even if I'm under the most restrictive conditions in my customer's tenant, that's going to be the exception to the rule, is they won't have any insight into what I'm doing in that shared channel. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, should work with Microsoft because this is Microsoft data, Microsoft business sensitive data. So like just because you're working in that organization, your tenant doesn't get access to that sensitive
data.
So we recommend.
So in other words, if they didn't want me to do that, then they should prevent me from accessing shared channels. So that might be something, admins on the receiving end of this getting an invite might have to think about this, saying, well, wait a minute, if you're a trader, you're looking at sensitive information, it may not be a good idea that you're participating in a shared channel with this company we're about to take over or something like that. So, okay.
Yeah, it's about trust, right? That's why we want our admins are involved, right? They are the ones who set up the initial relationship. And that's why cross-tenant access policies are very granular controls. Who do you allow? It's bi-directional, right? Who do you allow and who do you let people in? Yeah.
I see. Okay, thank you. And on that same topic, another huge topic is in Teams right now is information governance and protection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe just talk about things like sensitivity labels, retention, DLP. You kind of talked about retention, but safe attachment and links. Do all those, can you still apply all those policies and labels that admins have known to come to use?
Yes.
With shared channels?
Yeah. So I think when we started shared channels, one of the principles was that, hey, our compliance story has to be pretty seamless and pretty straightforward, right? So you look at e-discovery, legal hold, communication compliance, information barriers, audit logs, I can rattle that list, is supported on shared channels, right? There can be scenarios, but we have gone to great length in terms of documentation to cover all those scenarios. So whenever an external member gets added, gets removed, audit logs get generated, whenever a share with team gets terminated because somebody changed cross-tenant access policies, we generate those audit logs. I spoke about sensitivity labels. They get applied from the host team. We got some feedback from our admins, so we are doing some work on further enhancing what you can govern with sensitivity labels. We will talk about that soon once you have formalized the nature of the feature. Yeah, so that's supported and all those scenarios.
Thank you. I just want to follow that. So the conversation just about retention a minute ago. So it sounds like the information protection and security and compliance stuff is applied in the home tenant because that's who owns the house. And so just to confirm, if I am sharing a channel with an external organization and that external organization does an e-discovery, are they able to discover data within the channel that I'm hosting? Okay. Or is it that the e-discovery has to happen within the home tenant?
So this is similar to guest, right? If you're a guest, you're participating in that organization, the e-discovery has to happen on the host tenant. So what we have seen organizations do is that when they set up cross-tenant shared channels, they have an agreement and a setup that, hey, this is a relationship of mutual trust. If there is an incident, we will work together to sort out any privacy or any security incidents.
Yeah, and it makes sense why the Azure B2B Direct Connect is disabled by default, because I think there is some governance and planning on like Curtis was saying earlier, sharing data out of your organization.
Yeah, channels are where a lot of work gets done, like people share files and we want to make sure that like they feel confident and secure.
All the governance and all the controls aside, I'm really excited because I think it truly will enable a more seamless collaboration experience. So I can see shared channels being widely adopted. Now, as we've seen with Teams, that can lead to a lot of data. You know, in this case, it can be data exposed externally. So I think companies will be really interested in, and organizations will be really interested in how they report on shared channels, yeah. both what exists and yeah. usage. Has it gone stale? Can you speak to what reporting mechanisms will be available with shared channels?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think when we started talking about shared channels, like we reached out to a lot of MVPs, a lot of admins, and this was one of the top topics, right? Hey, how do I do reporting? Are you making my life more difficult? So that was something that was in the forefront of all our discussions, right? So let's start with Teams Admin Center. So when you look at Teams Admin Center, just like any other channel, you can go double click, see who all the members are, whether they are external members, which organization do they belong to. So that's more from if you're managing channels, right? You can create a shared channel on behalf of somebody, you can manage relationships. But you also have dedicated, and we released recently detailed documentation on Teams usage. That is Microsoft Teams usage report, and then Microsoft Teams user activity report. So both these reports go in great detail and track what users can do on the channel. So if they are messaging or they're posting, all those activities get accounted for in these reports. So you can, at a team level, look at how many active external users are there, how many organizations are there. Those details are also captured. On the AAD side, we generate AAD sign-in logs whenever people from an external organization participate in your organization using B2B Direct Connect. So you can go and generate that list as well. Right? And of course, then there are access reviews that allow you to track external users and see if they need to be removed.
And likewise, I would imagine shared channels activity probably shows up in the M365 audit log.
When you talk about activity, I think there's a nuance to that. If you because we don't track, like, every time a person accesses a channel, we don't generate that audit log. But right. we can definitely look at the documentation, like if there is any specific activity. But yeah, we don't generate an audit log every time somebody accesses a channel, because that can get really noisy, right? That's the other side of the spectrum that we get from admins. Hey, please make sure that our audit logs are sane and not just a verbose telemetry of what people are doing on shared channels.
Yeah, I was thinking more like significant events, like when a shared channel is created or deleted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like when the shared channel is created, when a member is added, when a member is removed, when a team is added, team is removed. Yes.
Yeah.
So
great. Sticking with the management theme, I wanted to ask, is there graph APIs available to create and manage shared channels? And of particular interest to people who manage teams, situations like tenant-to-tenant migrations, just management uses all around. I think there will be graph APIs to manage shared channels. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, there are already, and we have published all the documentation, because one thing we wanted to do once when we were releasing shared channels, even in our private preview, we wanted to make sure admins had full control, right? And graph APIs and PowerShell are the cornerstone of that control, because we have seen admin generate very, very diverse set of reports. So yeah, so graph APIs and PowerShells are already available, and we will share, I believe we will share all those links after this conversation.
Yeah, and that's a good note. So for our listeners, the blog entry for this this episode, we'll post all those links to all the documentation. So, all right, well, that was fantastic. Good intro to shared channels all up. I know, Arun, you've worked in this area for some time. You must be so pleased to actually see it come to fruition and see it being released. So congratulations.
Yeah, I think I've worked in Microsoft for a very long time now. I think I'm closing to 10 years, but I think shared channel has been a unique experience. I think so many teams across the board, I think AD, SharePoint, Substrate, like M365, like even the whole the security, privacy, governance teams came together to pretty much like rethink how external collaboration can work. And on the behalf of the entire team, I think I can say we are super thrilled to see how shared channels can help us build a very powerful M365 network. Yeah.
Well, we're all looking forward to it. So
yeah.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, I really appreciate it, Arun. Thanks for the time. And
thank you so much.
We'll see you later. Thanks.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Arun.